We're going to finish up from the message this morning, and I would like to keep things semi-short tonight, but I don't know how that will go. We will seek to, because we got the men's meeting, and also wanted to mention that there will be a ladies' meeting as well. Those that are interested, it's not anything mandatory, of course. But Joanna is going to meet with the ladies here in the auditorium just to talk about the prayer opportunity, the ladies' prayer meeting that will be coming up. We are seeking to restart the prayer meeting that took place on Fridays, and she'll be sharing a little bit about that. So if any of you ladies that think you might be interested in attending that, or maybe even a different day of the week, because that's one of the topics that will be discussed, is what day would be the best to accommodate the most amount of ladies that would like to attend. So, again, that will be following the service. And, men, we will meet in the fellowship hall to go over a few things together as well. So, again, got a busy evening with a few other announcements. And I'll mention something else after the message. But again, we're here in Titus chapter 1. And does anybody recall what the title of the series will be? Order in the Church. Very good. That's basically what this letter can be summarized with Paul giving some instructions to bring order to the church. There's going to be talking about qualifications for leaders, for the elders. He's going to be talking about dealing with different age groups as well. The women, and the ladies, the young men, and the different age groups. He's going to give, instruction as far as that goes as well. He's going to talk about dealing with false teaching and how to avoid it, how to be aware of it, and how to deal with it. And then he's going to be talking about, getting in through chapter 3, just living a life that is representing the Lord Jesus Christ, a godly life. And how we can do just that. But this morning we started off just introducing Titus and the writer. The writer is the Apostle Paul. And just a quick review here. He's writing to this young preacher boy who's really getting ready to be challenged greatly. But he's been put to the test. And that is important. And to observe that Paul just didn't throw him to the dogs, so to speak, although there's some, you know, these guys, as I gave the description, and we'll see more as we study this book, the Cretans, or the Cretans, they were, a rowdy bunch. They were some misfits, and man, I tell you what, they were a hard crowd to deal with. I got so tickled when I made that description this morning about possibly being called to people that were disorderly, liars, lazy, vile, gossipers, vain talkers, deceivers, and false teachers. At that time, both Betty and Bill Weatherly looked at each other at the same time, and not for each other, but they both said, middle schoolers. Amen, them Cretans, those middle schoolers, I tell you what. But there's probably some truth to that. But those are the type of people that he was being called to. He was being called to a special group that God is going to use in a mighty way, really. And that's all goes to God be the glory. It all goes to, all the glory goes to the Lord. But we talked about his position as servant and sent one. And you know, I've said this before, but I feel like it's worth saying again about this idea of being a servant. It requires humility. It requires to humble ourselves. And one of the things that I'm reminded of, you know, the command in three different times, they're found twice in Peter, also in James, the command is humble yourselves. And we need to be reminded, church, it just helps to remind yourself that if you don't humble yourself in that command, the Lord loves you enough to go ahead and do it for you. And he knows how to humble us, doesn't he? He knows how to just go ahead and say, okay, you're going to learn the hard way. You're not going to humble yourself before me. I'm giving you a chance to do it yourself. Humble yourself before me. The Lord steps in his love and his grace and says, all right, I'm going to do it for you. And just so that you can see what I'm really wanting to do in your life, in your heart. And so that is required. So we talked about his position as being servant and sent one. We talked about his purpose. His purpose was to go and to teach and preach the word of God. And we'll talk more about that aspect here in just a minute. But to encourage in faith and truth and godliness. We talked about his ground or his basis for what he was doing. It was because he had an eternal view on things. But then I want us to see tonight, with the rest of the time that we have, this third point, and that is not his position, not his purpose, but his proclamation. I want us to just take a look at his proclamation here that he's explaining to Titus, and that's found in verse number 3. I'll just read from verse 1 again. It says here, Titus chapter 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Let's pray. Father, we commit this message to you. Would you speak to us, Lord? Grow us, strengthen us, protect us. And Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this third point here, the proclamation that we see is, number one, this proclamation is God's chosen method. We're gonna see how he has chosen a method for getting the word of God out. And I want to look at that, but this proclamation, I want us to see, first of all, the circumstance. The circumstance of this proclamation. You say, what do you mean by that? I want you to look at that term there in verse 3. But hath in due times. Those two words there, due times, carries the idea of one's own timing. All right, one's own season and due times. It was due times according to God, because again, in the grammatical structure in verse 2, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began, hath in due times. So it's God in due times, which carries the meaning of in his timing. Under the circumstances, what are the circumstances of this manifestation that we're going to talk about, this proclamation that we're talking about? Well, the circumstance is simply this: God's timing. It's interesting, from the beginning of time, and as God would inspire 40 writers, 40 different authors of the Word of God, 40. Who would write the Word of God over a period of roughly 2,000 years. That they would write and from three different continents, and all of these writers being from different backgrounds, boy, different histories, different testimonies, different interests, different gifts, and boy, they were just anywhere from shepherds, kings, scholars, fishermen, prophets, a military general, cupbearer, and priest. I mean, you go down the line and name all these different ones who penned the Word of God. And at strategic times, God had men pen the Word of God as He breathed upon them and inspired them to write what was in His perfect will. The very words of God penned by the hand, by the hands of men. That is a miracle in itself. God chose that. As you will go through, look at Moses and his writings from the beginning, and you go all through the Word of God, the historical books and the poetical books and the major prophets and the minor prophets. These were all men that God manifested and made known His Word to them. And it was for a specific time. We've been going through Daniel. That was for a specific time there, with also, we know, for future time. They were in due times. They were in God's timing, what He wanted them to know. Hold your place there in Titus, and I want you to notice some similar words that are used. Look at 1 Timothy. Go back about 3 or 4 pages. And again, this is written to another young preacher. But I just want to show you the terminology, that the idea of it's God's own timing and how the Word of God has been proclaimed through the ages. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. Everything is done in God's perfect timing. All right. Verse 6 says, who gave himself, this Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That due time is the same phrase, the same Greek words that are used. It is, carries the idea in God's perfect timing. He would orchestrate men to proclaim the message of God. Go over to chapter 6. You're there in 1 Timothy. Go over to chapter 6. Look at verse 15. All right. Which in his times, all right, that in his times he shall show who is the blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You know what he says there? Look at the very first part of 15. Which in his times. That's the same two Greek words that are used in there, and it carries the same idea and meaning as the very fact that God has set specific times for men to proclaim his word. And thankfully, today, March 18th, 2018, we have every word of God right here in your lap, or whether it's on your phone or whether it's in the book in your lap, you hold the very words of God and they are completed. There's no more to be added, but it is for us to only study now and let it change us. But also what we're talking about tonight, it's our responsibility to proclaim it. We see here that the circumstance in due time was God's perfect timing as he came upon these ones. And we know that the message has not changed, has it? What is that common theme that goes through the Word of God? From Genesis to Revelation, there's a common theme. We know that it speaks from Genesis to Revelation, starting with both Adam and Eve. The theme that goes through, again, is the rebellion of men, the rebellion of humankind, but along with that, I think somebody mentioned it, the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. That will be your common theme from Genesis to Revelation, and there's no contradiction. That is what the Word that God is wanting to go for with us. And so, my friends, we must conclude in our Christian walk now, that is the same thing for us today. We understand that there is man who's rebelled against the revelation of God, but there is hope. Because we know that Satan hath blinded the minds which believe not, but unless, except, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. I believe that that's what we need to understand, the importance of this proclamation. It's God's appointed timing, and now is the time to proclaim every bit of it. We don't have to worry about adding more. And you know, there are going to be some more words that God adds eventually. And this is where we can get in trouble, any of us. But there are some things that God has purposely not told us. You know, He's manifested a lot. I mean, we got the completed Word of God, and we got a lot, a whole lot, the eternal Word of God. But sometimes we don't get quite satisfied with that. We almost want a little more. And that's where cults can form. Islam, Mormonism, the Russellites, who call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. You have these different cults and facets, and even there are either some minor things that men they're not satisfied with the completed Word of God, and let what is there affect them and change them and move them to win people to Jesus and be much for the gospel's sake. But they just want to find some secrets. They want to find some things that maybe even tell us the exact dates that Jesus is coming. And I believe it soon because Paul said it soon. And if you don't say it soon, then you don't believe your Bible. Amen? The coming of Christ is imminent. We must believe that. If you don't believe that, you got to get back to the book and go back and study what the Word of God says about the imminent return of Christ. It's soon. And we have to believe that in our hearts. because that's what God said. But none of us know the date it will be. And we must not add unto the Word of God in any way. But we see that God's timing, one day He's going to manifest that. And it's going to be obvious that when the Lord's going to come back, especially with His second coming, upon we know when the Antichrist will make the covenant there with the nation of Israel. And so then you know more of the timing. So moving along here, we see the circumstance of this proclamation. But then I want to see the clarity. I'm going to move through these pretty quickly. It's obvious there. Let's go back to our text, Titus chapter 1. We see that in due times, and what's that next word? It says there in verse 3, but hath in due times manifested. All right, that's to make clear. He's in due times have manifested in a way that's clear. And by the way, I believe it's ultra important that when we are speaking the Word of God and sharing the Word of God, we need to be clear. And sometimes you may just need to hold back on some of these theological terms if you're witnessing somebody that's not familiar with the Word of God and whatnot. There's nothing wrong with the term propitiation. Brother Christian even used it this morning in context, and it was good and rich, and I'm glad he said it. But there are words like that in the Word of God that when we are giving the Word of God, we want to be clear, because we know that Jesus Christ intends us to make the Word of God clear when we're giving it. And I'm thankful that God doesn't make anything fuzzy for us when it comes to understanding His Son, Jesus Christ. When it comes to understanding the will of God for our lives, God doesn't make any of that complicated. Aren't you glad for that? I don't know about y'all, but I didn't do real good in school. I didn't really like school. Anybody here not like school? Mass, most of you. We need help, folks. All you people that like school, raise your hand. Now, oh, goodness, you put your hands down. Weirdos. No, it's good. It's good. No, it's good. I'm glad y'all did like it. Y'all got some things to teach us. I know you do. But we have here, God's Word has been manifested. It's been made clear. A 4-year-old can understand that Jesus Christ, or a 3-year-old for that matter, and maybe even younger, can understand that Jesus Christ died for their sins and rose again the third day. That's the manifestation of the Word of God. And we see that what was He making manifest? We see clearly there His Word, the precious Word of God. That was the content. But then, with the rest of our time here, I want us to look at this next aspect of the proclamation, and that is the channel for which this proclamation is made. And look there in your Bibles, and He says here, but it hath in due times manifested His Word through preaching. Through preaching. Hold your place there and go to 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul makes much of the preaching of the Word of God. We see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll begin reading in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is by the power of God. For it is written in verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Look at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Get this. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Oh, verse 22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Oh, but verse 23, but we preach Christ. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. Hey, I want to tell you here, it is the power of God that we see in preaching. what, you know, it's, there's several words for preaching throughout the Word of God, but here in our text in Titus and there in Corinthians, the second form of preaching is the word caruso. And that is a herald. All right? Now y'all say, Pastor, why do you raise your voice so much when you're preaching? Because it's biblical, okay? I want to cry out, you know, and say, hey, thus saith the Lord. You know, preaching is authoritative as long as it is according to the precious Word of God. And it should be proclaimed with authority. And it should be cried out as a herald. And crying out that this is what the Lord has said. And let's follow it. I believe preaching is biblical. And God has chosen it to reach the people of the world. To save them that will hear it. And let the Holy Spirit work in their hearts. I believe in preaching. And I believe in teaching. I do believe in both, and I believe they should coincide in so many ways. Now, I do believe there is a setting where it's not as much as confrontational. It's not as much of heralding out, but, you know, you have a more of a sit-down time that we have, many of us have in Sunday school. I really appreciated folks doing that. Brother John Jemanski and I have done that in the college and career class, and man, we have had some rich discussions. We have talked about the Word of God, and people kind of give some of their thoughts on it, and that's been a blessing. And here this morning there was some of that, and I know Brother Mark does it, and Brother David and others do that. I think that's good. But then there's some times where the servant of the Lord just stands up and heralds the Word of God and with authority and with compassion and just convinces people that this is what the Lord has said. Amen. And that's what we are seeking to do. And that's what Paul did. He did preach with that indeed. He was he heralded the gospel of Jesus Christ. That word again is to proclaim after the manner of a herald. Gives the suggestion of even gravity and authority and must be listened to and obeyed. And I'll talk about that here in just a moment. But we see indeed this is an important aspect of the church. We must have the preaching. That's why it's one of my favorite songs that our choir sings. I love it. I could hear it every Sunday. But that is, we preach Christ. Oh man, that just really hits me in the heart every single time. I love that song because that's what we endued or seeking to do here. So we see here that this channel that God has chosen is preaching. Go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You hold your place there in Titus and there in 2 Corinthians. Again, I'm not referencing all the verses dealing with preaching, but just some to highlight here. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. So while just talking about how Satan hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. Let's look at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That was Paul's heartbeat, and that, my friends, should be ours too. Preaching and teaching and sharing the gospel. You know, when you speak the gospel, I want to tell you, encourage you, don't. You need to be humble, and you need to be gentle, but listen, do not be timid. You have authority when you're speaking the gospel to someone. You don't have to apologize for it. They may deny it. They may argue. But every child of God should be able to speak the gospel with great authority. Why? Because Jesus gives us that authority. It's ours. When I was in the Coast Guard, this has just helped me in my understanding of that. Because Jesus says, all power and authority has been given unto me. That's that authorization. And he's given that to us to preach the gospel. When I was in the Coast Guard, the 18 USC 89 was a code that we had when we boarded vessels. It doesn't matter if they invited us or not. We had the authority to put our, if they were in U.S. waters, there was no questions. There was no, sir, do you mind if we board your vessel? No. it was, sir, we're getting ready to board your vessel. Would you come alongside, please? Is there anything that we should know? We'll ask some questions, you know, like one of the things, of course, we ask, do you have any weapons on board? You know, you got to ask that sort kind of stuff. Or any mean dogs? We needed to ask that. But you know, we would show up with authority, folks. We'd say, we're going to board your vessel, sir. Give me your papers. We're not asking. May I see your papers, please? No, sir, give me your registration to this boat. And we would be asking him questions. How long you been out here? What's your purpose here? Why are we speaking with authority? Now, we were polite. Don't get me wrong. There was that. But we spoke with authority is my point. We were respectful. We tried not to put holes in their boats when we came alongside and things like that, because then we would have to rescue them, and that wouldn't be any fun. But we had to do that. But my point is, we had authority. Can I tell you something, church? Understand, when you start opening this book and sharing it with people, and when you start sharing the gospel, you need to share it with some authority. Because Christ has given us that authority. And it's nothing we have to be scared or timid or kind of, just a little bit unsure. No. Jesus Christ says, hey, all power and authority has been given to me. Go and preach the gospel. Go and teach my truth. Jesus gives his church authority to go and nothing to be ashamed of. And that, my friends, is what Paul was telling this young preacher here, Titus, that look, we have been given a command to preach. And then that brings me to my next point, is our commitment. Our commitment to the proclamation. Look at our text back in Titus. Let me get back there. Y'all might beat me to there. Titus chapter 1, we see here, he says that it is through preaching. Now, the next part he goes into is which is committed unto me. Now, that word committed comes from our theme word as well. It's the noun and verb form are very similar in root, and it's the idea of being trusted. This gospel he was talking about has been committed to me. He's saying it's been trusted to me. It's been given to me to be reliable with, and that's what he said, which is committed unto me. And that's that next point, is the commitment. Is you've been, Paul says, I've been entrusted with the proclamation of the gospel. And that is one thing we've been asking God to help us to grow in this year, in our theme verse. Lord, help us to understand what you've entrusted us with, that we might be good stewards, that we might manage it well, and that managing is distributing as well to where it needs to go. And Paul was like, look, this is a commitment that I've made, and I believe that God is committed to me, and so I believe we as God's people need to make that same commitment. I'd encourage you this week, as we narrow down, we're 2 weeks out from our Easter service, would you commit, would you take it upon yourself as a commitment from the Lord to try to distribute 5 Easter invitations this week as you're out and about in Athens and Jefferson and wherever God leads you? And listen, I'll tell you a little trick. Now, I may be getting some of you in trouble, but hey, listen, if they say, don't do that, that's fine, all right? Don't do it. Be respectful. But you know what I do with tracks a lot? I make it a practice. And I've been doing it with these recently, but wherever I get gas, and some of you may already do this, but wherever I get gas, usually there's a nice little sign on top trying to get you to get their weird credit cards, okay? I don't know who gets those. If you got one recently, I do apologize. But basically you have those advertisements, and they have this nice little plastic place. I think it's perfect. I think it's actually made for gospel tracts, to be honest with you. So what you can do is set it right in there. Set it right in there so when people get gas, you know, then they're just going to look right up there where those crazy credit cards are or telling you to save 5% on every gallon. And whatever the case may be, and just set that right up there, you know. We're proclaiming that he is risen, folks. He's alive! And He can save you and He can help you. And it's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're making it a point to, hey, we've been entrusted with this message. What are we doing with it? So you're constantly looking at places where you can set a card or speak a word of truth and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Lord help us to be faithful in that. I thank you for those that have made a commitment to your grow teams. And you know, what you're saying is, man, I'm committed. Because God has committed unto me to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see that there's a commitment. Hold your place there. And go over with me to Thessalonians. Go back just about 6 or 7 pages. Go back from Titus. And you'll find there in Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 4. I think that's the wrong one. Hold on. Did I say second or first? Okay, I was in 2 Thessalonians. My bad. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 4. It says here, but as we were allowed of God, now get this, to be put in trust with the gospel. You get that, church? We were allowed to be put in trust with the gospel. And what does he say here? He says, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. I like what Christian put the emphasis on worship this morning, that it's about all about pleasing God. It's not about pleasing me. And that's right there. I don't give out these tracts or witness to people to say, oh, look at me, or look what I did, or look how many tracts I hand out. We're not in a competition here. That can be dangerous, all right? If you do that at home, I'm not being critical of that. I'm just saying, you got to be careful. But what we do this to please our Savior. It's all about our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're making a commitment. And then the last point tonight, not only do we see that this is a commitment, this proclamation given by God, but we see the command. This proclamation is commanded. And look there back in Titus and in our close, Titus chapter 1 there in verse 3, it says here, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. The commandment of Christ, as I mentioned just a second ago, the Great Commission, commanded by Christ. You know, I've heard this before, and this is not original with me, but it hits right at home with all of us. Sometimes we talk about needing a call. Well, God hadn't called me to preach the gospel or to share the gospel or to teach the gospel, but it was said this way. Why do you need a call when you got a command? Folks, we don't need a call. We got a command from Christ. And by the way, here's another beautiful proof text for the deity of Christ. God, our Savior. In the Greek, we call that, and you'll see it again, the Granville Sharp rule, which is basically true evidence of Jesus Christ being God. It's just clear as day in Scripture that our Savior, our God, our King has given a command to His army and to His children, His church, to go. And don't wait for suggestions. Don't wait to think about it. Don't wait to pray about it. No. That's for other things. We need to do it. But we do not need to pray about sharing the gospel. We need to proclaim it, friends. Your church, we need to do this. And if you'll make the first step and say, Lord, you know, this is something that I struggle with, but would you help me? I believe God will. I believe God will answer that prayer. He'll honor that prayer because that is a spirit of humility. To ignore it and to deny it, that's a spirit of pride. But to say, Lord, whoo, your Spirit has spoken to me tonight. This is an area I am still so very weak in. I hardly even think about eternity. I hardly ever think about people and proclaiming the gospel. But if you will come to God with a spirit of humility tonight and say, dear God, I realize that this is an awesome, awesome responsibility. It is an awesome command from God, as Paul would say here so clearly. It is a channel by which we give the word, is proclaiming with authority the precious word of God. Let's pray. Father, this is something we all need growth in. Lord, let us not be found with blood upon our hands. Oh God, help us, Lord, to realize that we have a God-given responsibility to make manifest the precious book that you have completed, that has been completed for centuries. And Lord, I do ask that as you use Paul to encourage Titus, I pray that we would catch that same heartbeat and to realize that this is for us too. And Father, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for what you do. As folks are praying, let me ask you something. Do you need to do business? Do you need to do just spend time with God tonight? Do you need to ask God to just renew you in this idea of proclamation, of making sure you are doing everything you can to proclaim His Word, and not only just proclaim it, but proclaiming it with authority? I believe if you will make the first step in your heart of obedience, God will honor you as you humble yourself before Him, and He will give you the power and strength to be that proclaimer He's calling all of us to be.